Time to get our view, not from the middle, but from where he is in Alabama for SEC Media Days. Find his work for USA Today at your local newsstand, online usatoday.com. On Twitter, the handle is at George Schroeder. George, thanks for the time. How are things in the Yellowhammer State?
They're really good, although you'll be surprised to know that Alabama season last year was a failure.
Yeah, making it to the national championship game and losing in the last second, that's amazing. You know, I actually heard an interview with Greg McElroy, who, you know, QB'd Bama to the 09 title, and he was talking about his former coach, and he said, you know, because of the loss, they're talking about a chip on their shoulder, but it seems there's a kind of a different vibe to Saban now, maybe like dangerously subdued, I think he said, you know, like he knows something.
Wow, I didn't pick that up, but Greg is obviously a lot closer to the program than, you know, most media members are, just because, you know, sort of that being in that fraternity as a former player. That's interesting. So I didn't hear that either. Was he suggesting that something's not right with the program?
No, I think it was the opposite. Like, he knows how loaded he is, and what he's saying and what he really feels about this team might be two different things.
Listen, I would seriously think that would make a lot of sense. Look, they lost 10 players to the NFL. It ain't going to matter a whit because they just reload. It's like shark teeth, right?
Right.
Some of them fall out, and a new row pops in, and they're just as dangerous and sharp as they were before. I think that's what you're looking at with Alabama. Jalen Hurts comes back to be a sophomore starter quarterback after he was a true freshman. He was the SEC's Offensive Player of the Year. Nelson, he needs to be a better passer. I think Alabama's lack of a vertical pass game or even a consistent pass game of any kind got sort of exposed in the national title game. And really against Washington, too. I mean, they eventually ground them down with the defense, but they weren't able to really put it on him because he needs to be a better passer. But you know what? Most of the time, that isn't going to matter at all. They're so much better than the rest of their competition in the SEC right now that it's not going to matter. And if he makes that leap from year one to year two, talking about Jalen Hurts, that you see starting quarterbacks make, then look out. Of course, they start the season with Florida State. A lot of people are hyping that matchup, but
yeah,
you know, and I think it, at least on paper, you know, you're looking at 1-2, maybe 1-3 in the preseason polls, which will come out, you know, sometime next month. But I got to tell you, I'm not going to bet against Alabama in any game. And when I say bet, I don't mean Steve Tannen bet.
I know what you mean.
It's a figure of speech, Steve.
I gotcha. The story you posted today talking about the process, and for those who need a refresher, Sarkisian out, another new offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll, who's been an NFL guy from the Patriots. So what's the word about Daboll? And you mentioned Jalen Hurts. It's the first time they brought a quarterback back since A.J. McCarron. So, you know, his style, what does he bring to the table?
Well, let me just say this, and that hasn't mattered a bit. They've been in that time where they've kept putting new quarterbacks in every year. They're 40-4, so it hasn't really mattered. But
right.
Look, so Brian Daboll is going to bring. You know, he was obviously with Belichick in New England. He's going to bring them some, and already has obviously in spring practice, some infusion of a little bit more of the how do you marry the pro style with the spread that they have increasingly moved to under Lane Kiffin, and they were doing that to, you know, accentuate what they had in terms of personnel, whether it was a lesser offensive line than they'd had in the past or a dual-threat quarterback or both. They've moved increasingly to the hurry-up and the spread and look more like the other teams that they've been playing, yes, only with better players. But it's pretty clear Nick Saban wants to try to figure out a way to run some of the pro-style stuff that he really is more comfortable with, while still maintaining a lot of that spread concept and a lot of the hurry-up concept. And so I don't think we'll really know what they're going to do until they trot it out there, but it'll be really interesting to see how Brian Daboll impacts them, how maybe they change.
We're talking with George Schroeder, USA Today. Banging gears here, you were recently in Guatemala, And yesterday, the story you posted, I love the title, Playing Football in the Land of Football. So there's an American Football League, and I was kind of intrigued. Kind of, how big is that league, and maybe how well-supported is it in the land of soccer?
Well, not big and not well-supported, but passionately supported by those who support it or play it. And it was really kind of interesting. I kind of stumbled across it and got in touch with one of the guys who's a coach. He's a 26-year-old, he's from Michigan, played football at Central Michigan, was a quarterback and then a tight end and played special teams. And he sort of stumbled into American football, and the next thing you know, he was coaching the team. And in the entire game, the game on the field resembles what we look at, but the game in terms of preparation and, as you said, support and everything else is completely different. And so I have to tell you, just a plug for the story, it's at usatoday.com. Go check out sports or Google it. Check my Twitter feed. That's the best way to find it.
Sure.
I found it to be fascinating. I mean, I don't know that necessarily what the listeners will think. I found it to just be a fascinating thing. These guys, why do you play football if you're a Guatemalan who grew up in a soccer country, football, as you said, and yet these guys are out there banging heads and everything else in pads because they decided they love the game, is what most of them were doing. So it was just a ton of fun to report. It's a 6-team league. They play back-to-back-to-back games on Saturdays, and, it's, I don't know, it's as much fun as I've had in 4 trips to Guatemala going and checking that out.
Yeah, what fascinated me is, these guys are not making James Harden money. So I was kind of curious, the interesting stories. How do they fill these rosters? Because, obviously these guys have actual sustainable jobs, and this is a part-time gig.
Well, it's a part-time gig. They're not making James Harden money, Steve. They're not making Steve Cannon money. Okay?
poor guys.
I mean, they're not making... they're not making money doing this at all. This is it's not a labor. This is a little bit like rec league softball is what they did.
Wow.
Now, they've got some pretty good athletes out there, and it's kind of interesting. But it's like rec league softball. If rec league softball came to Eugene and you started playing it, but nobody had ever played the sport before, right?
Right.
So it was foreign to you. That's kind of what it's like. So they've got, on the one team, and this is fairly representative, I've been led to believe, of all 6 teams. On the one team that I spent some time with, the Toros, there are 37 players on the roster. The age range is 17 to 35. They've got a middle school dropout. They've got a taxi driver. They've got an attorney who's pretty well off, and basically everything in between. And, they practice twice a week, and if they get 12 players out for a practice, that's great. And then, unfortunately, you might have a whole different set of players that end up showing up for the game. And so it's a very interesting kind of microcosm of the entire society, at least on the male side. It was very interesting.
No, it sure was. And again, usatoday.com or go to at George Schroeder on Twitter. So the topic we've chatted about recently, how top-heavy the SEC is, even lopsided with the West. The East hasn't had a contender since Florida with Tebow. So I guess it's safe to say from what I read and what you wrote that they're pretty aware it's one-sided and maybe lack that top-to-bottom power they once bragged about.
Oh, they're aware. And let's be honest, when the SEC was all that 3 or 4 years ago, the East was the person you did, or the division you didn't talk about at all. You talked about how great the West was, and you just sort of like glossed over the fact that there actually is an East as well. So at that point, they weren't even talking about the East. And now, obviously, the West teams, other than Alabama, have kind of fallen a little bit. And so it's kind of, in some ways, the East has come up a little bit to the West, but the West has come back down to meet the East, and except for Alabama. But you're right. Tim Tebow was playing football the last time the East won the championship. That's 2008.
Wow.
That's the year that Tim Tebow and the Gators went out and beat Oklahoma for the national title. You remember that year? They won the SEC championship that year to get there. And ever since then, it's been all West. and most of the games have not even been competitive. And so, and by the way, that's just obviously the top teams in the East, right? Not being able to compete with the top team in the West. But overall, the East, since beginning in 2012, which is when they expanded to 14 teams, the East is 24-51 against the West.
Wow.
24-51. I mean, that's, I don't know, by my math, that's not very good unless you're hitting a baseball.
That's a good point.
Like Tim Tebow is now. Just to continue the Tebow references.
Nice. Well played. A couple final thoughts for George Schroeder live from SEC Media Days. I know this Jim McElwain story is kind of insane. Only in our social media-driven society could this become a thing. I saw his kind of stance at the podium. He tried to laugh it off, but not sure he was kind of feeling the humor. He a little touchy, or is his claim that his university and family got attacked legit?
Well, first of all, would you feel the humor if it was about you?
I probably could laugh it off, but
okay,
I'm me.
No, you probably would. And let me just say this. I think laughing it off is the best strategy. Because there's no getting rid of the thing when these things go viral. And obviously we're talking about the, I don't even want to reference what it is.
Right.
I'll let you do that. But
Jim and the Shark.
We're talking about the picture of the guy on top of a shark. And the guy's wearing the same amount of clothing as a shark, right? So, and the face looks remarkably like Jim McElwain. And it went viral back in May. That's what we're talking about. Look. Do I think he has a legitimate point that it hurts the reputation of the university? Yeah, I think so. Did it hurt his family? I'm sure it did. I can only imagine how that would feel if my dad, how would that be?
Yeah,
be terrible.
It's awkward.
But I'll say this. I think there's a way to, and you can be privately mad and seethe about it, but I think the way to handle it from the podium and any other time it's brought up, even though you're mad that it's going to get brought up, is just to laugh it off. And I think that's the best way to make it go away.
All right.
So I didn't think he handled it very well in answer to your question.
That said,
I wouldn't have asked him that question because I'm sympathetic to him on that. I think it's a terrible thing to have out there as though it was really him, and I don't believe it is.
Now, didn't we? I think they confirmed it was like a New York cop or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, but it's funny you say that, and I've read that story too. But then you've got people that are just swear up and down, no, that's definitely him. And so, it's just not going away. And it's going to be that out there forever. And I guess maybe if you come to the realization, this is never going away. It doesn't matter if the New York cop comes out and says it's me and he smiles and everybody takes a picture and it's clearly him, they're going to say it's always me. I mean, I guess if you thought that, maybe you would just get frosty with it and really be upset. But I still think publicly you've got to figure out a way to laugh it off to make people stop talking about it.
Yeah, and of course when they go to places like, Bama and Tennessee, that's not going
Florida
away.
State, yep. The Florida-Georgia game in Jacksonville, I'm assuming there's going to be some posters that are unfurled. Yeah, it's going to be terrible.
Yep. Well, let's finish with Arkansas as an Arkansan, obviously a program near and dear to you. Brett Bielema, kind of stepped in after that Bobby Petrino mess from Wisconsin, won three games his first year, then 7-8-7 the last three. They kind of, like you wrote, they stumbled in. Last year, and that fan base is as unreasonable as any. So I know it's a common, question, but it's year five. If they don't upgrade, he in some trouble.
Well, he's not in trouble, like as in come December, Arkansas is going to be on a coaching search. Not that kind of trouble,
right?
But if they have a bad year or a year that sort of finishes like that, where you don't think there's progress being made in the program. Finishes like last year, then I think you'll see him on the hot seat. And this time next year, that would be the hot seat. He'd be getting the hot seat questions instead of, for example, Texas A&M's Kevin Sumlin, who's getting those today.
Right.
But, I think definitely it's the way they finished, which is they lost three of their last four, and they blew a 17-point halftime lead against Missouri and a 24-point halftime lead against Virginia Tech in the Belk Bowl to finish the season, those last two games. That's antithetical or just completely the inverse of how they had finished his first couple of years, where they seemed to get stronger as the season went along and give you, hope in the offseason. And suddenly it led to a whole different set of questions than he'd ever faced, I think, in an offseason. And it leads fans to think, Are they not going to get there with him? And so, you know, I think if they have some kind of a similar year to that, then yeah, we're gonna see Brett Bielema on the hot seat.
All right. We appreciate your time, George. I know you're on the move, got a lot of things going on. Again, usatoday.com, a lot of stuff posted in the last few days. At George Schroeder on Twitter. George, you travel safe. Enjoy the rest of the SEC media days, and we always appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you very much. Enjoy it.
All right, take it easy.